with good reason. We are following the following agenda today, that we have to deal with a presentation from the National Department of Tourism on their budget vote and the APP. We then have to also deal with the minutes of our last meeting. But before we do that, let me just do two things. The one is to welcome the colleagues from the National Department of Tourism, the DG and his team. Honorable members, we have the apology of the minister and the apology of the deputy minister. We welcome the DG that's leading this team to us. We also want to welcome all you members. But then also, when we welcome the members, I need to note two apologies. One, we have the apology from the Honorable Tikhale. You know there is this UN Commission on the Status of Women, and they are having a meeting that clashes with this one, and Honorable Tikhale had to attend that meeting. Rebecca, am I right? I only have one member apology, right? Right. Okay. Sorry, members, that we did not send you the minutes before. That's the minutes of the 17th of April. But looks like you distributed it. Martins will distribute that to us when we had the presentation of the BBBE. I would seek your indulgence that we look at that minutes before we discuss today.
We are still on the programming
of the National Committee today as well. EGIR. But that's what time? I think it's not earlier than 12 o'clock. No, 12 o'clock is like almost tomorrow. Mm-hmm. In my Jewish tradition, 12 o'clock means the next day. In my Palestinian tradition, 12 o'clock means that you may get shot. Can I, DG, give to you to lead us through a rather thick presentation? We assume that you would speak to the presentation and take us through it as rapidly as you can. We also know that our CFO, the CFO is not yet, but we have someone from the finance department that will lead us through the finance document. Is the CFO here? No, the CFO is in the wheelchair, right? Oh, that's SA Tourism. This is the department. Okay. We don't have a meeting after this, but we're looking at receiving your presentation and concluding that it is now 10 past, so if we could say we give you an hour and then we engage with you for another hour. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Member. I hope there are no honorable members behind this pillar whom we are not able to see.
No, I'm on a WhatsApp group with Samson. I asked him to come and remove the bike.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. We do have indeed an apology from the CFO as well as an apology from the DDG for tourism sector support services, Ms. Van Peel. The reasons thereof are that we have asked them to liaise with colleagues in the Northwest in light of the cabinet decision around the work of National together with the province. So I will stand in for the CFO, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Member, and DDG Chetia will stand in for DDG Rampili. When she does her presentation, she's going to do two programs together. We will stick to the time that has been allocated, hopefully less than what has been allocated. We'll start on slide 3. Before we get into the details, perhaps it is important to indicate on which I've said that this is the first year that we are operating with the new structure of the department. So previously you would have had different names of these programs. We are getting used to it now. But all of them, when they introduce themselves, you will hear these new programs now. We are actually implementing those. And the new programs, the first one is corporate management, which is led by DDG Duma. I don't know if the members know you. Yes, okay. The members know. The second program is Tourism Research Policy and International Relations. It's led by DDG Malan. And the third program is Destination Development, which is led by DDG Shetia. And fourth program is Tourism Sector Support Services, which is led by DDG Rampil, who's not here today. The strategy of the department has not changed. We're still implementing the same strategy that we tabled at the beginning of this term of government. The vision of the department still remains the same, which is leading sustainable tourism development for inclusive economic growth in South Africa. The mission of the department also hasn't changed, which is to grow an inclusive and sustainable tourism economy through good corporate and cooperative governance, strategic partnerships and collaboration, innovation and knowledge management, as well as effective stakeholder communication. Our mandate is still driven from Act No. 3 of 2014, which is the Tourism Act. And, of course, we pursue the objectives and the specifics about tourism that is contained in the National Development Plan. The three pillars, really, that drive all that we do in the strength of inclusivity as well as radical economic transformation. The first one is the area of policy. There's quite a lot of work that we are doing, and we will outline what it is all about that we are actually pursuing in that particular area. People development, be it around skills, be it around people getting into entrepreneurship and so on, that is an area that we fully pursue. And places in terms of the development of attraction, as well as enhancement of experiences in such sites and so on. Our strategic outcome-orientated goals, we still have two. The first one, like any other good organization, we would like to continue to achieve good corporate and cooperative governance. And as an economic sector, we would like to increase the contribution of our sector to inclusive growth of the economy of the country. In terms of our objectives, we've got 12 objectives, which are well outlined there. We're talking about ensuring economic, efficient and effective use of the departmental resources. This is important in the context of governance. We would like to ensure understanding and awareness of value of tourism and its opportunities. And core of this is the whole issue of developmental communication, that this knowledge and understanding of the nature of services that we provide and how to access such services. To create an enabling legislative and regulatory environment for tourism development and growth. And in this particular area, there is a number of policy initiatives that you will see, as well as legislative-related initiatives. But such I need to state that given the time frames that we've got, all legislations that would, the bills that would have proposed are only going to be able to go to the next parliament, given the time frames that we are with now. We would like to contribute to economic transformation in the country. There are specific initiatives that we've got in this regard that we would outline as we get to the detail of the plan to accelerate the transformation of the sector. Now, the two, I just need to state that strategic objective 4 and strategic objective 5, what is the difference? 4 is about the department and what we do with the resources allocated to us to the full transformation with the things that we do as consumers, if I could put it that way. 5 is about us doing work to ensure that there's transformation in the sector. Strategic objective 6, to facilitate the development and growth of tourism enterprises, to contribute to inclusive economic growth and job creation, a number of initiatives here you would hear about, to facilitate tourism capacity building programs. We have a number of programs here that range from training of chefs, training of sommeliers, and so on. There's quite a whole range of them. To provide knowledge services to inform policy and policy planning and decision making. There are a number of initiatives here that Division Madame will take you through. To reduce barriers to tourism growth, to enhance tourism competitiveness. And you will also see how we have brought in specifics in this area. Previously, we didn't have specifics in this area. We take caution in this area that we basically developing basis for us to be able to engage in an informed manner when it comes to specific issues that may be deemed to be barriers to the growth of tourism. And to enhance regional tourism integration, in this area, you know, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, that South Africa at the moment is the chair of SADC. So that makes Minister the chair of SADC Ministers of Tourism. And also at a technical level, we have got similar responsibilities. So you will hear about what is actually happening in this area as well. To create employment opportunities by implementing tourism projects, these are around EPWP, and that will be outlined as well by DDB Champion. So what really are we focusing on? We are focusing on transformation of the sector. We are focusing on making sure that there is fair and clear basis for decision-making, and those decisions are adequately informed, so research and knowledge management. We are focusing on enhancing the skills across the sector, and we've seen very good results in this area. We believe that we should actually do more to be able to further enhance the skills, but also to be able to bring new people into the sector. Destination development, and this would also include issues of marine and coastal management, which are part of the Oceans PAKISA, Oceans Economy PAKISA. And enterprise development, this would also include issues pertaining to enterprise funding and general support that is required by emerging enterprises as such. And responsible tourism, the principles we're seeing must be promoted throughout all the things that we do. But there are some very specific and tangible projects that we're doing in this area that you will also see, including matters pertaining to community participation, which is the most important aspect from a social point of view as well as economic point of view. Regulatory interventions, this is one of the biggest areas
And one of the things that you would also be informed about is work that we're doing with regards to the bill. So it's just at a policy level. So we obviously will only come here when it is a bill, once Cabinet has looked at it and confirmed. But one of the biggest critical areas that we are certainly looking at is the whole issue of the sharing economy. But we confine ourselves to accommodation because the other areas don't necessarily fit within our mandate. And this would also be matters that we would be bringing at a later stage with regards to what we're doing around the bill. We would like to propose that the manner of, I think honorable members are familiar with the pillars of the pillars of our national tourism sector strategy, which has been approved last December. The review has been completed. Now we have a mandate from now until 2026. And there's an outline of what is it that we would be able to see upon achievement of the strategy. So the pillars there is effective marketing, is facilitation of ease of access for our travelers and our tourists. It's the whole issue of enhancing the visitor experience and the management of the destination broadly. But we're also talking emphatically about broad-based benefits, and here we're talking about ensuring that its inclusive growth and transformation is taking place, but it's taking place with growth. And in terms of where we would like to see this, we're saying that direct contribution to the GDP in 2015, when we commenced with this review, which was after 5 years of implementation of the NTSS, we're at 118 billion rand. And we are saying by 2026, we would like to then be at 302 billion. So those are some of the targets. We would like to also see an increase in the total contribution to the jobs from 1.5 million to 2.2 million. So this is what we are working towards and all the efforts that we're doing. Of course, when you look at this table which contains all these figures, it is important, honorable members, to take note of the fact that the department does an aspect, SAT does some other aspects, the industry does other aspects, and other sectors also have to come on board. So it's not just the work of the department that brings this, but the department has a responsibility to ensure that others are doing their part. That coordination role will then play to be able to get to the kind of results that we have highlighted here. We are going to propose that we start in program 2, which will be on slide 14, then go to program 3 and 4, then come back to program 1, and then go to the finances. I will hand over to DG.
Thank you, DG. Honorable Chair, honorable members, I'm going to present program 2, as DG said, Tourism Research Policy and International Relations. Just to mention that this program also includes knowledge management, monitoring and evaluation, and strategic partnerships, which is not necessarily in the name, but in the function. The purpose is to enhance strategic policy, environment, monitor the tourism sector's performance, and enable strategic relations. I'm going to move to slide 15. DG mentioned our objectives. This program contributes to 4 of the objectives, 3, 7, 9, and 11. And we have 6 program performance indicators. I'm going to highlight those starting from slide 17. PPI number 1 is the number of policy development initiatives undertaken. We have targeted 2 for the financial year, and those specifically relate to looking at airlift as well as visa requirements in terms of opportunities And to inform our stakeholder engagements around those two specific areas. On slide 18, we see PPI number 2, which relates to the number of information dissemination platforms hosted. Those are platforms that we use to disseminate information that we have. In addition to disseminating it on our website, the first relates to the Tourism Public Lecture, which we host annually, usually around September, the theme usually relates to the Tourism Month theme, that is an opportunity where we then get experts to present on the specific theme. The second target relates to our tourism research seminar, which we also host annually. That is a platform where we present the research that we do in collaboration with universities every year. That platform is then, that event is then a platform for the research to be presented and to be shared with the research community. On slide 19, PPI 3 refers to our tourism monitoring and evaluation reports. Honourable Chair, members, you would note that there are 22 reports under this PPI. I'm going to mention those. The first one relates to our implementation report of the National Tourism Sector Strategy. So every year we do a report, an annual report, on where we are in terms of the implementation of the strategy. The second target refers to our State of Tourism report, which we also do annually, reflecting on specific areas within the sector and highlight the performance. The third target refers to our quarterly tourism fact sheet. We produce a quarterly fact sheet, also showing the performance of the sector. And then the fourth target refers to a monthly report that we do on the analysis that we do on the tourist arrival figures. That's published by Statistics South Africa. On slide 20, it refers to a report on the monitoring of the capacity building project. So that is the projects that are done within the department through the other line functions where we do a monitoring function and then develop a report. Number 6 refers to an overall evaluation report that we want to do on the capacity building program and then provide a report. On slide 21, it's a monitoring report on the infrastructure projects that is implemented in the department. And target number 5 is an annual report on the bilateral agreements, the implementation of the bilateral agreements that we have signed. So we take stock of the bilateral agreements that we have with countries and how far we have progressed in terms of the implementation of those. PPI number 4 speaks to the number of information systems developed and maintained, and that specifically relates to the National Tourism Information Management System, which we also find in the Tourism Act. The first target there refers to the development of a supply-side database to get an understanding of the supply side of the sector. The second target then refers to a database on black-owned products and services. So we will have the total supply-side database, but we also want to have a subset of that refers to black-owned products and services. And then the third one is around the development of a biometric time and attendance system for the EPWP projects. It's just to enhance the monitoring of the attendance of the project. On slide 23, PPI 5 refers to the number of initiatives that we facilitate in multilateral fora and bilateral cooperation and regional integration. Those refer to what Gigi also mentioned in his opening remarks. We are, as a country, chairing SADC. We are also chairing EORA. And there are a number of initiatives that relate to that. Minister Hanekom is also now being included in the INC for BRICS, so I'm sure there's also work that we will do around that. But specifically in the APP, we had five initiatives. Three of them speaks to our chairship of EORA. The first one is EORA workshop on coastal and marine tourism. The second one, as the chair, we had to host the senior officials, which is the experts meeting. And number three then speaks to the ministerial meeting that Minister Hanekom will host as the chair. On slide 24, target number four refers to our sharing of best practices workshop. That's an annual workshop that we host with the aim of implementing, or one of the objectives is to implement some of the areas of agreement in our bilateral agreements, and it relates to the sharing of best practices. And it's focused on countries in Africa, but the other countries that we signed agreements with are also welcome to attend, and we have seen more and more of those. Target number five refers to the ministerial session that Minister Hanekom hosts every year on the margins of Indaba. And then, Honourable Chair, Honourable Members, PPI number six refers to the number of capacity building programs implemented, and that's where this program contributes to the overall capacity building program in the department, where we will place 600 trained youth in all the provinces and municipalities for the collection of data for the National Tourism Information Management System. The project started in the previous year, and it's now the rollout of the project. Thank you, Honourable Chair. I'm going to hand over to DDG Chetia for Program 3 and 4.
Good morning, Honourable Chair and Honourable Members. I'm going to try to take you on a lightning tour of both places and people, the work that we're doing in that space. I'm starting off with destination development, and if you could go to the next slide, please. The easiest way to understand this work is as a pipeline. So what the team does here is that they take ideas, they plan them through feasibilities and pre-feasibility studies. They find the money to make those ideas materialize, and in some instances we do that work through our expanded public works program, or we actually get somebody else to implement and operate the facilities. So within this we have three performance indicators. The first one relates to our planning initiatives, and there are 11 targets within that. The second one relates to the initiatives that we are doing to improve and enhance the current facilities that we have, and we have 15 targets related to those. And then the last one talks to our expanded public works program. There's only one target for this, but actually the devil is in the details related to this work, because it actually is multiple projects and skills and infrastructure development. If we are on slide 29, slide 28 is simply how we're now implementing our infrastructure projects. We're fully aligning to the standards for infrastructure procurement and delivery management set by Treasury. Some of our projects have in the past been beset by challenges, our infrastructure spaces. So we've had differing results. Some have been excellent and some have been problematic. But we have gone through an extensive process of reviewing how we implement infrastructure projects, and we are in the process of fully aligning with the system. Slide 29 is where we start our initiatives related to destination planning. And last year we did two things. The one thing was to actually create a destination planning manual. This year we are actually using that manual and working in each of the provinces to actually plan for a destination within each of the provinces. So we're practically applying the manual to assist provinces with their planning for destination within the province. The second thing we did last year was to actually develop a precinct planning manual using Vilakazi Street as a model. So this year we're taking that work further by developing a precinct plan for Khayelitsha and also by developing a Karoo region precinct plan. Our next set of work is actually master plans, and we have four master plans that we're working on. The easiest way, again, to illustrate what a master plan is by way of examples. So the Cradle of Humankind, when it began, there were 68 products in that area. The first thing that team did was to develop a master plan, which included elements of infrastructure development, environmental management, because it was a World Master site, marketing, tourism-related development. And the concept around it was to create an anchor project, which is now Marupeng, and to actually develop scenic routes that surround that. So the master plan in the Cradle from 2001, where there were 68 projects, now actually sees the development of 411 projects this year, tourism-related projects. And those are, because there was a plan that systematically developed all of the elements that made tourism happen, including integrating the infrastructure planning, including integrating tourism and marketing planning, and including integrating all of the environmental requirements. So master plans take between 5 and 20 years to actually implement. But without a master plan, one of the challenges we have in our lesser developed tourism destinations is that unless we do this detailed planning, we are in fact not going to see development happen from a tourism perspective. So we're focusing on four master plans. The first one is actually linked with the SKA development. So it's really looking at the master plan for Southern and Tucanarvin. The next one is Honda Club to Port Nolloth. Port St. John's to Coffee Bay in the Eastern Cape, and then the Orange River Mount, which is in the Northern Cape. We are also then developing precinct development concept plans and campsite development concept plans for the Plainsea BS precinct and for Hondeklip Bay and McDougall's Bay. The intention of these plans is that they can also then be used to be applied in the same way as our precinct planning manual and destination planning manual in other destinations in the country. So we're starting with these two. You will see that a lot of these focus on the coastal and marine tourism areas where there has actually been not very much development. The next one then, of course, is to develop a pipeline of investment projects. This also builds on our investment master plan. We have a list of 80 projects from across the country. The challenge with that list of 80 is that only 9 of those 80 are actually bankable projects. So what our team is doing is working with provincial authorities and local authorities where it's applicable to develop those other, the remainder of them, 71, into projects that are bankable so that we always have projects in tourism that are being taken from planning or concept all the way through to development. So that's how this work aligns with each other. And then the last planning indicator is really around budget resources and developing a operational and ownership model for how budget resources are going to work. So it's taking forward the idea of budget resource, and that's on slide 32. The next set of indicators, there are 15 actually APP indicators that talk to our work in terms of destination enhancement. Members would be familiar with Chingoni Gate and Palabo Wild Activity Hubs, which are projects we're implementing, multi-year projects in partnership with Sand Parks, and this work basically proceeds this year. We have a set of universal accessibility projects. We've done assessments at provincial parks, and we are now basically retrofitting the infrastructure in those provincial parks to actually be universally accessible. We are working then in the Blader River Canyon in Mpumalanga, Hilltop Rest Camp in Sushuwe in KZN, the Gariep Dam in the Free State, and Dwisa Twebe in the Eastern Cape. The next two sets of projects contained on slide 35 are donor-funded projects. So we have funding from the EU, 19 million for the Dinosaur Interpretation Center, which is in Golden Gate in the Free State. And this is basically also being implemented in partnership with Sand Parks. They're building a new interpretation center there around dinosaurs. You should watch the space. It's going to be very exciting. And then the second project, of course, is in the Bavianz Globe World Heritage Site in the Eastern Cape. We have 56 million of donor funding for this project, and there are two elements to it. One is a leopard trail.
Rand.
56 million Rand. The first one is the Leopard's Trail, and then the second one is also an interpretation center that talks to that specific World Heritage Site. We are also continuing our work on the interpretative signage at our national iconic sites, and we are this year working in the Sisulu Nature Reserve in KZN, in Kambati Nature Reserve, and Dwesa Twebe in the Eastern Cape, the Tsitsikamma National Park, Blade River Canyon again, and then, of course, work in the SKA Karoo node. And then the last project in terms of this is the Indo-Atlantic Route, which basically joins the four coastal provinces. This is a major project that is linking the product that we have on coastal and marine tourism in one sort of unified brand. So there are elements of marketing within this work, and there are also elements of product development within this work. And then the last target is related to our full-time equivalent jobs. This is the highest target the department has ever had, 6,355 full-time equivalents. Last year we achieved 3,085 full-time equivalent jobs. So this is ramping up the work. And as I said, it might be a single target, but the devil is really in the detail, because it actually is a number of projects and skills development, as well as infrastructure development that we are implementing. So that takes care of the places presentation. The next one is really talking to the presentation on people. And within this area of work, there are several elements of work that get dealt with here. The one element of work deals with SMME development. The other one is the tourism incentive program. We also have transformation and responsible tourism, as well as guiding. And visitor services lie within this area of work. So if we go to slide 39, I'm going to take a little bit longer on this one because there's a lot of provincial breakdown that I will talk to. There are actually eight performance indicators in terms of this area of work. The first one talks to, of course, transformation targets, and there's three targets within that. The second one talks to domestic tourism initiatives. And similarly, there are three targets. The PPI3 talks to the number of enterprises that are developed, and there are two targets for that. And incubators are also two targets, also with SMEs. Then we are talking about the incentive program, where we have four targets. Community enterprises, there's one target. On slide 40 are the PPI 7, which relates to visitor services, where we have seven targets. And then in terms of our capacity building programs, there are nine targets. If we then go to slide 41, we are looking at the issues that deal with transformation. You would be familiar with all of these programs. The first one is about monitoring implementation against the code. The second one is providing secretariat services to the Charter Council. And then the third one is actually rolling out our Women in Tourism program. All of these, of course, are implemented on a national level. On slide 42, we begin to look at the domestic tourism work. One of the challenges, of course, we have is encouraging domestic tourism in South Africa. And this work is largely around being able to facilitate this by working with tour operators, by also working with products. The second indicator, which is scheme, is about working with products to actually create proper pricing and proper packaging for the domestic tourism market. And then the third one relates to our social tourism initiatives, where we are actually working with designated groups, which is the youth, the elderly, and people with disabilities, and actually facilitating travel for those specific groups. So that is the work that we're doing in the domestic tourism space, And of course, all of this is underpinned by the domestic tourism strategy and can't be done in isolation, but is in partnership with both South African tourism and then, of course, with product owners. Slide 43 actually talks to our work related to enterprise development. And this work over the next year will provide support to 400 SMMEs. Last year, our program actually on awareness worked with 1,089 SMMEs across all of the provinces. This year, we are actually, I'm going to talk to both slides 43 and 44. We are also actually rolling out 5 incubators, those incubators essentially are in Pilanesberg, Manyaleti in Bushbuckridge, Palaboa, and then Mir in the Northern Cape. And then we are also rolling out another one that is nationally. This one is specifically for tour operators and the incubation of tour operators. I'm on slide 45 now, which really talks to our tourism incentive program. You would be familiar with all of the programs here. The market access program last year actually supported 112 enterprises. The tourism grading program actually provided support to 1,529 businesses. And the energy efficiency program is a new program that we're rolling out. We rolled out the pilot. You will be familiar with the pilot at Robben Island, for example. But this program now is targeting the private sector who can apply for funding for energy efficient interventions at their businesses. And then the last one is the Sector Transformation Fund. We have 120 million over the MTEF. This is really going to be in partnership with the NEF, so it's really about supporting businesses to develop all of their infrastructure related and funding challenges that they have with actually expanding their infrastructure. Slide 46 actually talks to the number of community enterprises supported, and we are working this year in 5 communities. This is Hook in the Free State, Kula Village and Imazizini in KwaZulu-Natal, Rampampa in the northwest, and then Vilakazi Street again in Gauteng. Our next set of work is really about improving our visitor services, and this is looking at applying the service excellence standards. Again, we're working in St. Lucia with the Kula Information Centre, Port St. John's in the Eastern Cape, and then the Pilanesberg National Park Visitor Information Centre in the northwest. Our Journey to Service Excellence also focuses in Jozini, KZN, and Port St. John's in the Eastern Cape. And then the other areas of work that we do in terms of the visitor services areas of work are related to compliance with the service delivery charter in dealing with tourist complaints, working on the development of an accreditation scheme for tourism, and we also run then an awareness campaign on complaints management, service excellence, tourist guiding, and on tourism safety. On slide 50 actually begins the work that we're doing in skills development, and there are 8 initiatives. The Tourism Monitors program is being rolled out nationally. The breakdown of all of the provincial breakdown is provided on the slide. This is really about providing visitor safety and support in our tourism destination. The members would be aware that this is one of the elements of work that is actually being emphasized most recently. Slide 51 talks to our national chef training program. There are 577 youth, but the breakdown is 66 in the Eastern Cape, 81 in the Western Cape, 13 in the Northern Cape, 99 in KZN, 178 in Gauteng, 35 in the Free State, 38 in Mpumalanga, 139 in Limpopo, and 62 in the Northwest. The Blue Flag Training Program is actually only run in 3 provinces, the Western Cape, the Eastern Cape, and KwaZulu-Natal, and that program will see 200 youth employed this year, It is also complemented by the Green Coast Program, which we are also running, and that is to try to get beaches that aren't at a blue flag status up to that level of a blue flag status. The Sommelier Training Program, we're running this again. There are 300 unemployed youth, but this is only in 4 provinces. In the Western Cape, we have targeted 30 youth, but we actually now only have 24 in the program. The Northern Cape, we have also targeted 20 youth, and there are only 17 in the program. And the reason for that is we have dropouts in these programs. In KZN, there are 100 youth, and then, of course, in the Western Cape, we have 30. No, yes, 30, that's correct. The next program is actually the Hospitality Youth Program. We have outlined for the provinces that are there, and I'm sorry, but the following provinces weren't included on the slide. I think they sort of fell out. But the Free State, we have 100. In Limpopo, there are 300, and in the Northwest, there are 200. So that provides the breakdown of the 2,375 unemployed youth. So this program is run across all 9 provinces. And then the next slide talks to the National Tourism Career Expo, which essentially is run annually for students. And the last one talks to the training of 40 women in the executive training program. This initially started with 20 women, but we've actually now expanded it to 40. The next slide talks to 3 programs that we have in guiding. And in guiding, we actually deal with the upskilling of tourist guides. This year, we're working at Isimangaliso and the Cape Floral Kingdom. At Isimangaliso, there will be 25 guides that will be trained to become entrepreneurs and 50 additional site guides that are going to be trained. In the Cape Floral Kingdom, there will be 30 site guides that are trained. Then we're working in Kruger National Park with between 60 to 70 guides that will be trained. And then there are new entrants that actually get trained in this program. There are 20 adventure guides in the Eastern Cape, and between 15 to 20 nature guides in Limpopo. The resource energy efficiency program is working with 60 learners in the Eastern Cape, Free State, and the Western Cape. Last year we worked in 3 different provinces, and so now we're moving across the country. And then the very last program actually talks to our work with local government. And this year our focus will be in Limpopo, the Eastern Cape, the Northern Cape, and most likely either Northwest or Mpumalanga. That's the last slide on capacity and development initiative. I'm going to hand over to DDG Duma.
Thanks, Shamima. Good morning, Chair and Honourable Members. I will speak to Program 1, which is now called Corporate Management, indicating that we have 3 strategic objectives under this program, 10 PPI, program performance indicators, and 13 targets that I will speak to. Going to slide 59, under our strategic objective 1, which is to ensure economic, efficient, and effective use of our resources, we're going to be reviewing and implementing our performance management system so that we're able to enhance our departmental performance. We're also going to be building our internal capacity, want to develop and retain a capable and skilled workforce so that we're able to meet our performance requirements, but also we want to meet our EE requirements, employment equity requirements, by attracting particularly our target groups so that there's representation of women, of people with disabilities, but also of black people. Slide 60, still on strategic objective 1, we want to provide optimal ICT services for the department to ensure that there's ICT enablement that allows us to meet our strategic objectives. We want to advocate for our departmental resources to ensure that were able to meet our departmental priorities. We want to use them effectively, efficiently, and economically, those resources. Want to provide assurance through our internal audit service so that there's good corporate governance within the department. So we want to strengthen governance, risk management, and our control processes. Strategic objective two speaks to enhancing understanding and awareness of the value of tourism and its opportunities. We want to ensure that there's enough awareness within the sector about our program, and we want to implement an effective communication strategy to help us in that regard. We want to focus particularly on implementing our developmental communication so that there's enough understanding and awareness in our communities and townships and rural areas, and people are able to access our program. The last one, the strategic objective four, speaks to contributing to economic transformation in South Africa. We want to ensure that our departmental expenditure is aligned to contribute to the empowerment of our SMMEs that do business with the department. Going to slide 62, under PPI 1, we have 14 strategic documents that we're going to be developing and presenting, the first one being our APP for 2019-20. We also want to develop our annual performance report for 2017-18, our four quarterly reports on how we're implementing our strategic plan and APP. On our next slide, 63, we still, under PPI 1, we want to develop four quarterly risk analysis reports, which we'll present to our risk management committee. We'll also develop four quarterly reports on our oversight of our public entity SAT. And then under PPI 2 vacancy rate, we're going to maintain it at 8% and ensure that we don't exceed that target. Slide 64 speaks to the presentation of our targeted group, looking at maintaining a minimum of 50% for SMS women representation, minimum of 3% for people with disabilities, and 95.1% minimum for black representation. PPI 4 speaks to our workplace skills plan implementation. They want to develop and achieve 100% implementation of our workplace skills plan by ensuring that we have targeted training interventions that are aligned to our departmental strategic priorities. So we want to address skills gaps within the organization in line with our departmental structure and strategy. Slide 65, PPI 5 speaks to compliance with prescripts on management of our cases, our labor relations cases, and they want to be fully compliant. And PPI 6 speaks to implementation of our ICT strategic plan. We're going to revise and implement our 5-year strategic plan, ICT strategic plan, to ensure that alignment with departmental objectives. So we're going to draft our revised ICT strategy to ensure that there's ICT enablement for the department. Slide 66. PPI 7 speaks to a number of quarterly and annual financial statements submitted. We're going to submit 3 quarterly interim financial statements to National Treasury, 1 annual financial statement to Treasury, as well as to the Auditor General. This is for 2017-18. PPI 8 speaks to implementation of the annual internal audit plan. We want to fully implement our audit plan, which entails reviewing our organization's activities, strengthening governance, risk management, and our control processes, as I've already indicated. Slide 67, PPI 9, is about implementing our communication strategy. And as I've already indicated, the focus chiefly will be on developmental communication. We want to spread awareness about our programs and initiatives, particularly to our communities in our townships and rural areas. ensuring that there's outreach to all our stakeholders. Slide 68, PPI 10 is about percentage of procurement from our triple BEB compliant businesses once they're to comply with our procurement legislation, want to meet our departmental objectives, with regards to SMME development, and the focus there will be on enterprises with triple B contributor status 1 to 5. And that's our last slide there. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. With regards to the finances, we do have an appropriation which was taken into account in the conclusion of this strategy. So all aspects of the strategy as it stands, or the ATP as it stands, are funded. But just to say that a bulk of our money actually goes to South African tourism. More than half of what we receive from National Treasury goes to South African tourism for marketing purposes, which is okay because it's one of the programs, and it is a significant problem in terms of the responsibilities that they've got. We do have pressure points. Whilst I've said that we do have enough for what we are supposed to do, we do have pressure points, and these pressure points are not just for us only, but they are pressure points with regards to HR budget. Thus far, we've got sufficient budget for the current staff complement that we've got. But that would be the case for as long as we are paying what we have to pay for now. But beyond that, obviously, some other changes would also then come into this space. So we are monitoring that space closely so that we are able to still be able to achieve what we're supposed to achieve. You would notice that 56.2% of the budget is going to, in fact, 56.7 is going to tourism research policy and international relations. In reality, that is where the SAT money is. So this program is one of the programs that has got the least money if you were to remove SAT funding. If I'm not mistaken, as we go through the details, you would find that they are probably sitting at about 18 million or so for their goods and services. And they really have quite a lot of work to do. So what we have done, you would ask, so where is the money coming from for all these other activities? What we have done is there are two programs that essentially would serve as funding agents for other activities in other programs. So I will explain what that means. You will have EPWP. EPWP has got two components. It's got capital projects, and it's got skills-related projects. The skills-related is skills and others, the soft projects, if one could call them that. The skills and those other projects reside in Program 4, which is Tourism Sector Support Services. So they plan for that, and they then make a case to be able to be resourced from the EPWP. But they must comply with all the requirements of EPWP, and they will be monitored with regards to that by the EPWP colleagues. Similarly, you would have projects that are in tourism research policy and international relations, which would also benefit from EBWP. DDG Malan spoke about something that we are referring to as a mini census of establishments across the country, because we want to know precisely where the products are, what is the size of this thing, and so on and so forth. And that would also be funded from EPWP, and it must have full compliance with all the requirements of EPWP. On the other hand as well, you would have some of the responsible tourism-related projects that are able to benefit directly from TIP being funded from there. So those two, whilst they've got their own projects as well, they also serve as a resource center for the others. Now, we've gone through this and we said, what would be the best mechanism to actually run with this thing? And the reality is that it has to be within a program. So you can't split these programs that come in a programmatic way. So if it comes as TIP, it must sit in one place. But it does not then suggest that the funding that is going to be used is just going to be used inside that particular program, similar with EPWP. So those I thought it is important to highlight so that when as an example, when members look at other categories of expenditure and they look at per program and they look at comparisons and they find that one program, say, has got 10%, destination development, I think you've got 10% of your funding going to human resources, and you've got tourism sector support services with about 25% going into human resources. But the reality is that there's money that is actually sitting in that destination development that would have offset that percentage in the end. So that at least that program. But we have no other choice but to actually put it in one specific program, and then we have to control how the movement actually then works. Even this year, that's how we have actually done that. It worked well, and we didn't have any problems with regards to that. So the question would be, with so much money that is going to South African tourism, what are the mechanisms in place to be able to ensure that we have control over this? We have a good board. We have a very good board. And today we are presenting a new board. The term of this board ends at the end of this month. We are presenting a new board in cabinet. So we allow the board to be the board. They direct the strategy, but they seek ministerial approval. So we are able to have line of sight of what is the focus. Is there alignment with the NDP? Is there alignment with the NTSS? Is there alignment with the Tourism Act? And we are able to then see the broader picture of where they want to go. We don't get involved with their day-to-day operations. We allow the board and the executive to do their work, and they account to us, and they seek concurrence on certain matters depending on the significance and so on and so forth. And we haven't had problems. We've had clean audits with them, and we've had good results with them. So we believe that mechanism is working. We also have protocols that we use to be able to say this is what the level of engagement will be on matters of this nature and on matters of that nature. I will stop at that because the rest of this budget is basically just going into individual programs, so to say. Overall, just for the record, I need to state that we've been appropriated a total for this year of 2,261,817.
Thank you very much, TJ. It was a very helpful presentation, particularly the breakdowns that you've given us for the provinces and the townships. Allow me to just make three remarks before I open it for engagement with the rest of the members. The first is to say to DGG Chetia, on some of the breakdowns that you have given us, they were not on the slides. And we are particularly interested in those figures, because also when we do our oversight on your performance, it helps us coming and representing provinces here that we have that detail. So I kindly request through you, DG, that we get that type of detail shared with us. It is there already, just to have it shared with us. That's point one. Point two is I think that we need to put on record that we very much wanted to be at the tourism in Daba. And we had the responsibility in the NCOP to host a meeting that we call Local Government Week. And it has been decided on with local government, if I have it correctly, last year already, when we spoke to the leadership in Salga. I was under severe pressure from some of the members to be at the Indaba, and we unfortunately could not, but we are particularly astounded and appreciative of the fact that you have had the increased number of SMMEs, both in terms of the stalls, and I was listening to an interview with the minister on that, where they were saying that this year it was different. The focus was actually on SMMEs. And I'm linking it with my earlier comment that what we want to do is to get the details, not now, I'm not asking you to give it to us at some other time, because what we find happening is that we have B&Bs in the community where I live, and it's going to be important also to make sure, particularly those that are in the townships, are known to us so that we can help them to also become sustainable. That's the second comment. My third comment is to just say thank you and to put it on record. I didn't want to do it in a different way. I think we've done it in writing to you, but you have arranged for us the tickets to the jazz festival. And we just want to put on record that we received tickets for three couples, because, you know, we in Parliament must also declare. We have received tickets for three couples for two nights, and that has been equitably shared amongst members of the committee. So I can mention it here so that you don't think that I have benefited personally only. But it was a shared benefit. We appreciate that. Members, we are now opening the presentation for engagement, and the floor is open. I notice the Honourable Father, the Honourable, let me take you in the sequence that you raised your hands. The Honourable Father, the Honourable Hai. The Honourable Father is from Western Cape, and I notice, sorry, Eastern Cape.
Northern.
No, I'm trying to recall.
Chairperson, let me just put it right. The Northern Cape actually are bigger than all these other small places that you talk of, as is Gauteng, also one of the smaller places. So we are actually the Cape. The Northern Cape is the Cape.
You see, when you mention places like Port North, and you mention Honda Club Bay, I mean, many of us wonder where on earth is that. But it is isolated areas, and I know the community of Honda Club Bay felt very threatened because there's limited economic activity. And taking tourism there where there is a beach, there are very other sites. We also have in August the fauna going, there's miraculous changes there. I wanted to say that the Honourable Father is from that particular particular province. Then they have, we have the Honorable Chai, who is from the Eastern Cape. I don't have to say much about that, but he's also the chairperson of our select committee in which the Department of Small Business Development reports to. And we have, just last week, we had a presentation from that, and SMMEs is also very important in that department of government. Then we have the Honorable Mahwebo, who is also from the Eastern Cape. And then I think I noticed the Honorable Ntebe. Did you want to?
Yes.
Then we'll have them followed by the Honorable Ntebe. And when we talk about Honorable Ntebe, he's from Northwest.
The northern part of the Eastern
Cape. But then I heard you, Gigi, just check out on this. In your slide, you talk about Pilansburg with a U for branding. I think it's known because of the Berg there. And if I have it right, it is not a U like Johannesburg. Just check for us on that when you have the time. I think it's Pilansburg, the name of the area. Right, because for branding it's going to be important. That Berg is actually where the people settled originally. And even apartheid couldn't move them very far from the Berg. They moved them into Moroleng. And there is still some very, very important legacy that's on that Berg. Then the Honorable Wouda, who comes from the province where the sun rises, that's why he's last, we'll have him from Mpumalanga. The Honorable Wouda, also welcome back, sir. We are grateful that you have been recuperated to the extent where you can join us again. Please, DG, we are giving over to you to do the allocation of the questions to members of your team. We notice you have a competent team of DGs there with you. So let's take three sets for the first round, three people, and then we're going to take two. Honorable Father.
Thank you, Chairperson. Yes, I'm going to shoot off with on the budget, on the expenditure report. I would also like, I think Honorable Eddie McCoy was just saying, we would really like to see per province in this presentation. I mean, I've seen a lot of what you are talking about in Hornaclip, Baaiplein, Sea, Orange River Mouth, but I'd also like to see the breakdown per province, because it's nice hearing about it, but then when I look at your total outreach per program, it doesn't say per province. So for the National Assembly Portfolio Committee, obviously that's fine, but for us, we would really look per province, because that is what we have to go back and say to our people in the provinces.
Sorry, Honorable Papa. You're talking about the finances and then you're talking about per province. Do you want to see the financial breakdown?
Chairperson, on the expenditure report that we got right at the end, if you look at it, shows the program. So I would just like to, when we look at those financial programs at the end, that we also just know the breakdown of that per province, if it is possible. I don't know if it's always, because sometimes it might overlap. I'm not sure of that, but maybe if one can have that, I think it will be helpful for us.
Yes,
Wilson. Then, thank you so much. As you know, we do represent our provinces, and I represent by far the largest province in the country, the Northern Cape. And I'm glad to hear about the Orange River Mouth, Monitor by Mazugal by and Claims here. You'll see Honorable De Beers got one big mansion there. I don't know which other politicians have. But it's not just claims here, these places. It's huge places, Chairperson. On record, I think Honorable Ntebe's got an earth there as well. But yes, I would like to know these projects, because I can see their destination planning in initiate concept development campsites. I would like to know where exactly, a little bit more detail on that, if it's possible. I don't know where I can get that. It doesn't have to be for this whole committee, but I would like to have that, if possible. And how much is budgeted for this? Because I see it's been in sectors, first quarter, second quarter, etc. Then something on visitor safety on page 50. DG Chairperson, I've got a great concern on visitor safety. People are getting attacked by the day more and more and more. I actually would like to have Mr. Derikana, Minister Derikana come back here today to would have asked him what is himself, the Department of Justice and SAS doing about it. And I will tell you why. And I never thought about it that way. Visitors come here, they get robbed, for instance, on Table Mountain. As soon as they are robbed of their belongings, money whatsoever, attacked, they go and make a case at SAS. After a week or so, they go back to their countries in Europe, America, wherever they go to. The perpetrators get arrested. But as you know, in the system, that these people must come and actually come back to court to actually say, it was you, sir, that attacked me. So those as a witness. Now, these people cannot come back from Germany or wherever they are as witnesses. Now, this is where the problem comes in. Tourists get targeted, and this is a drive-by SAS at the moment. They really do target tourists because they know they can't come before court because these tourists from overseas cannot come back to actually be used as witnesses against them. And I really do believe we as tourism, the justice system, as well as SAS, have to get together somehow. Even, I don't know if it's legal on video court or whatever, but these folks are getting away with it because they know they can't get caught. They're going to go till the term or the court date is there and the witnesses aren't there and they get set free. This is happening over and over, and I think this is a tendency what we're not looking at that is very, very important. Then another thing, travel initiative programs, marketing for companies. I've seen this, that European countries are using this a lot for their own companies, giving incentives for top performers to actually have a trip to a country. I would like to know, have you actually thought of that to market South Africa in this market for top achievers? Because it's a highly desired, it's highly desired for these people to come to these type of experience that they can come and have. Companies would rather give that instead of money as a way of enhancing their sales, for instance, etc. So I wanted to know on travel incentives, on these type of programs, do you have such things in mind? That you can actually go to huge companies overseas, market South Africa, and even in South African companies like Vodacom for our inbound tourism in South Africa itself, and using South Africa as a tourism destination as incentives for South African companies' top achievers. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. The Honourable Faba, you see, PMGM creates a problem for us. Because they write the proceedings of our meetings verbatim. And you say things lightly about Honorable De Beer and Honorable Mtebe, and when he takes it to the office, they write it and it becomes a part of the proceedings of the meeting. I think we must just be careful about casting those expressions.
I'll scrap it off.
Say off the record. Honorable Five, please. Yeah, thank you, Honorable Chairperson, and thank you, DG and the team, for the report. The views are friendly. Though I would have appreciated it. That I made a mistake, I brought with me the editorial document instead of the department, because I wanted, as you were reporting, to look at the baseline, because the presentation doesn't have a baseline, rather can make comparison. But also would like to congratulate the minister for coming back to the department, though
perhaps my complaint would be that persons have been in this committee have never seen me. So that could be conveyed if Minister Kasa could come into this committee. I don't understand why then Anacom cannot come. So the wise I'm congratulating, but I'm also raising this concept that we have never seen him in this committee. My comments firstly would be on the strategic the Minister of strategic objective 428. Basically, they talk about transformation and the contribution to economic transformation and promoting inclusivity. Firstly, for me, I would say that perhaps the department should be the one that takes the lead as an example to show this the implementation of these strategic objectives. Particularly in promoting black products, there's another, I think, indicator that talks about the development of the MTIMF of black-owned products. I would have loved if the department was taking initiative. You know, when you come here, you're waking up from this black-owned product. There are a lot of budget debates that are taking place here in Parliament this week and up until June, towards the end of June. And there are hundreds of officials that you'll find here in Parliament. I wish that the majority of them slept in black-owned BNBs, etc. Last in 2016, as part of taking Parliament to the people, we went to the Eastern Cape. We also visited a place called the National Great Place. The complaint there was that government departments are not utilizing. They've got a very nice bachelor's there. Very nice salaries and the conference facilities, but government doesn't utilize those. They were complaining, and that was conveyed to the department in the province. We made a follow-up in March, no improvement. In fact, this afternoon we will be debating in Parliament. There will be the outcome of our visit to the Eastern Cape as far as taking Parliament to the people. So the point I'm making is that, I'm just making an example about the market failure, particularly the private sector. You know, there are a lot of so-called RTP houses because of the initiative of government. If that the issue of housing was left to the private sector, millions of people would have houses in South Africa. But the initiative taken by government ensured that millions of people have houses. So I'm saying, therefore, that it is up to government also to ensure that the transformation. That's why government has come up with this, which is a question as well to the department, which we promised the Department of Small Business as well, that when we meet government, departments will raise this point of 30% set aside, whether in your budget you set aside 30% to SMMEs. This is a question others will just comment. My other question is, you talk about the tourism month. I just want to know which province is going to take place and when. I know it is in September. The 1st of September, 27th, oh, okay. As well, we'd be interested also to know the research seminar, when it is taking place. The other question which also we promised the department is that of a 30-day payment period, whether you're meeting that deadline of paying your service, the service provider that are providing services to the department. I'm interested also on this present plan. My question would be, you make an example of one in Gauteng, the Vilakazi Street as an example, but also there will be one in Khayelitsha, another one in Karoo. I don't know if you, perhaps you have a long-term plan for other provinces as well on this terms with the president. I know this, that the one that you reported is a target for 2018-2019, but my interest whether you have a long-term target for this. That if I could also get an explanation about this biometric time and attendance system, just to clarify for what that means. I'm just interested. On the pipeline prioritize tourism investment project, you and opportunities, you reported that there were 80, but there are 9 that are Bangalore, and that you're working with provinces on the other 71. I don't know if there are any monitoring mechanisms that you have to ensure, as well as time frames to ensure that provinces are doing something about this. On the 6,355 full-time equivalent jobs, I mean, you were saying that you formed 3,000. Isn't it a big target for yourself that you may not be able to meet? And also in cooperative cooperative management, the vacancy rate target of 8%. That's why I was concerned about the baseline. What is your current baseline? So that we can compare whether you'll be able to achieve the 8%. I saw in the Tourism South Africa, they have a new target of a staff satisfaction score. I want to know if you have a similar indicator. Then the last two...
Honorable High, that was your 10th question.
That's the last two. Maybe others can be responded in writing at the same time. They'll choose which one they will respond to. Maybe if they respond in writing on other. That's the last two. If there are any targets with regard to domestic tourism trips as well as the international tourism. Thank you, sir.
Honorable
Mahai,
would you like to respond?
I promise there will be three on the chair, but three main ones. Yes, international. You know, we've always said that DG and your team, we welcome the presentation and we appreciate it. No, tourism department and the SA Tourism actually is one of those departments. If it was a girlfriend, you say, well, first work, let's call. If it's a girlfriend, you say, it's easy to love because we listen to one another. And we struggle with many other departments. But that is it, may on a serious note, three things really. We had to protect it from Honorable Tebben. He's disturbing me, Honorable Tebben. Three things. Okay, on a strategic objective number 6, that is SO6, I want us to talk about that. That is developing and growing the tourism enterprise. Now, in our previous interaction with SA Tourism, we learned that domestic tourism is not growing. Some people argue that it's shrinking, actually. And you find that probably international tourism is better compared to domestic tourism. Now, I want to find out, have we commissioned a research to understand, so that we can stop speculating, to understand why is domestic tourism, you know, not growing? And what is it that could be done to turn, you know, the tide, and turn things around and make it grow? Because to me that's very important, particularly if you look at the context in the country where there's 27% unemployment, So this to me is important. If you have not done that, perhaps you have reasons. Then can you tell us why you have not commissioned that research? That's the first one. Second one is the issue on your program two, where you talk mainly about destination development. When we talk destination development, I just want to find out, because there was been an interesting concept that SA Tourism has been raising, and I've always been fascinated about it. You know, because we want to bring, you know, the unemployed, the young graduates, you know, the young previously disadvantaged folks into this space of tourism. And there was a concept of the DMCs, the domestic, I mean, the destination marketing companies. And I want to know, what role are you playing to assist in that endeavor? And when can we see that endeavor, you know, coming into fruition? Because that will also assist, you know, in not only, you know, raising entrepreneurs, but it will also deal with the issues of unemployment, because that will create employment for, as a speaker for, in my view. Then the last one, Chen, with the issue of the precinct as well. I want to talk about this one, you know, because I also believe in the township economy. The issue of Khayelitsha precinct, can you tell us more about that? What is it that we're doing? Just unpack it for us. And when can we see this coming to place? Because, as I said earlier, I believe in township tourism. I go to Cox, I go to Khayelitsha. Khayelitsha, there's a vibrant township economy, Chair. When you go there, there's a park, they call it a park. You know, you see the young folks, you know, there's a lot of selling, you know, dough, you know, and, you know, they're selling just in the main something one would criticize to say it also promotes irresponsible drinking. But there's a lot of activities that debars them. So I'm not sure what is it that you, what you really doing about this township economy in this precinct of Khayelitsha. What is it that would be different from what they're trying to do? And maybe you can build on what you're doing if you've been to Khayelitsha. But I suggest you might go for a bride TG with your team. We can join in Khayelitsha, we can take a walk about, and you'll see what I'm talking about. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Would it be fair, TG, that we take the other two hands now? Are you okay with that? Okay. Let's have Honorable Taylor. We'll take both you and Honorable Bauda now.
No, Chair, unlike Honorable Khai, let me just have one question and one comment. DG, strategic objective number 5, you say you want to accelerate transformation in the sector. Please demonstrate how, in relation to what Honorable Khai was raising. We've been harping on one issue only, that your department is working, but we need market penetration for domestic tourism. Unless we open the channel, we will not be able to win. So you can have, I even demonstrated in the past that during the 2010 World Cup, the majority of our people took packages, developed B&Bs with an expectation that they were going to benefit out of that process. Those establishments are lying fallow now. They are not being used. And we need to create that space for them to be able to come into the fore. Tourism, we are hoping that now that we are standing, we are hanging from a fiscal cliff, tourism must be one of the departments that is going to save us. Creating SMMEs and cooperatives that are viable, that are having market penetration so that we can be able to stimulate consumption. But we will not be able to do that if we still rely mainly on international tourism. I don't think we are going there. So that's my comment, Chair, and I think what is quite important is how do we fuse that energy that we are beginning to see into this. And we've been saying, lastly, Chair, we know that it is not your responsibility to keep tourists safe. It's a multidisciplinary kind of an approach. But we need to see action. And as a former board member in one of the boards regarding tourism, I wish one of my functionaries could be speaking so well about me, like you do about your board. I never had them speaking good about me. So,
Honorable. Thank you, Honorable Taylor. Honorable Bauda.
Yeah,
Thank you. Thank you very much, Chairperson. I greet all of you. Assalamu alaikum. Thank you, Chairperson, for your kind sentiments expressed a little earlier. I'm going to be very brief, DJ. The issue with regard to a contribution to the GDP, I see you've said 118 billion going to 302 billion. What percentage is this of the gross GDP, of the entire GDP of the country? And let's compare this with the with the job creation and the percentage. We've accepted that there's 1.5 million roughly jobs at the moment that are supported by the sector, and another direct jobs of 700 to 2.2 million jobs directly or indirectly. How does this compare? Looking at this and to see whether there is a balance here, and then we're going to also compare it in other sectors of the economy, isn't it, when we sit with other departments to see what we can and how this can be taken forward. The next question would be with regard to the research which was mentioned, tourism research. I'm just wondering, I'd like to understand, how do you identify the areas of research? What areas of research are you doing now? What areas, why is it being done, and how is this going to help us going forward? And then the issue with regard to the maintenance, I see there's many projects that are being done, new projects and new areas that we are identifying, but we must understand in South Africa, for the international tourists, there are two destinations that are primary, that will be Table Mountain and the Kruger National Park. So what is being done to maintain these? And Chairperson, I'm speaking specifically, and I'm very concerned about the Kruger National Park. I've been going there since a kid. I live about 70 km from the nearest border. So we visit often, and we can see that there is a decline in the standards, and I think it's important that we maintain these standards, because these are primary attractions. And then I like the term pipeline of tourism. You've got a primary attraction, then you develop the attractions en route to that primary attraction, and that is, you know, that is the ideal. Sudvala Caves in the Mpumalanga. I haven't heard anything about Sudvala Caves, one of the most beautiful, or it has to be, if not the most beautiful, second then only to the Kango Caves, a very, very beautiful destination, and I don't hear much spoken about Sudvala Caves, but it would be on that pipeline to the Kruger National Park. With regard to the countries, I think I'm on my fourth question now. Okay, let's leave out the countries. Economic transformation. I hear you guys, you know, everybody talks about economic transformation these days since the arrival, of course, of the new kids on the block in their red overalls. What is the understanding in your department? I wish the minister was here. Get an understanding. What do we mean by economic transformation? How does your department see this? And what is being specifically done in this regard? Because sometimes I think people have a different understanding from what we have regarding economic transformation. And then my last question here will be 30% women. I noticed you said, why 30%? I thought we had a gender equality, 50-50. Why are we looking only at going towards 30%? I saw that somewhere on one of the slides. My comment then would be that it is very obvious, DG, that you have an excellent board, because, I mean, the fact that the minister at some stage was fired, it has to have something to do with the fact that you have a very good board. Thank you, Didi. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Honorable Vada. That 30% women is that advanced training that we are doing, particularly for women. I think you sent women to universities. You'll answer that. I could see your brows lifting. DJ and the team, just allow me to make two comments or requests that you don't need to respond to now. The one is that you are mentioning a lot of activities happening in the provinces. Can we request, please, through the Parliamentary Liaison Office, that you share that information with us so that we know what is happening in our provinces. That's the one request. The second is, you also mentioned like BRICS and SADC and another international forum in which minister is participating, insofar as it is possible. Could you also just share with us the outcomes of the minister's participation in such events, insofar as it is possible? Thank you very much. Over to you, Tiji.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson, and thank you very much to the Honorable Member for the questions and the comments that are somewhat contribution. We are going to start with the Program 1 related questions, and then we will go to Program 2 related questions, which are about measurability of things, comparison, around statistics, and some of the issues with regard to the research done and so on. And then we will come to issues pertaining to the destination development. I will try and attend to what the colleagues would not have attended to, but I will take lightly the questions around the transformation. I will take those. I know that the reference was to the minister and not to us as officials, but I would just like to place on record that this committee often clashes with cabinet, and for some reason it's not even a cabinet committee at all times, it's actually clashing with cabinet itself. So that's one of the reasons why there's been often, I think we met once on a Friday or something, and then we were able to actually have everybody here once. Well, it was a Tuesday. It was a Tuesday, yes. Or Friday. Friday is some other place. It was a Tuesday. So on that Tuesday, we were able to have minister, we were able to have deputy minister. I thought I should just put that. Lula.
Thanks, DJ. I will deal with the first question regarding our vacancy rate and what the baseline is and whether we'll meet the target of 8%. Yes, Honourable Member, we will meet the target. We did struggle last year because of the restructure where we essentially had to place all of our staff in new posts. So we had to work very hard during the year. So our baseline, what we achieved in the 2017-18 financial year was at the end of that year 6.2% vacancy. We've maintained it at 8%, I think basically to ensure that we're able to meet that target. We may at some point need to revise it if we're seeing that on a year basis we're achieving a much lower target in terms of our vacancy. But also we'll be aware that with the requirement for us to watch our budget, the liberty to fill all posts has really been curtailed. We have to prioritize what posts we're filling. So for now, we're keeping it at 8% and watching, but there's no concern on our part that we'll meet that target. Okay, and then the second question was regarding staff satisfaction measures. I just want to share with the committee that currently we're embarking on a survey, a culture survey that's being conducted by ICAS. We've contracted them to basically look at overall satisfaction for employees, how do we improve team performance, what's leadership effectiveness, and also how are we allocating our resources to meet our critical needs. That process is currently underway. Our staff have completed the surveys, and we received the first draft from ICAS, which we're currently engaging, and we'll give our inputs back to it. But upon receipt of that final report, it will outline a plan for us to address the issues that should have been raised by employees. Thank you.
I think you should also deal with the tourism money and the 30-day payment.
On Tourism Month, the Tourism Day is globally held on the 27th of September, and this year it will be hosted by the Eastern Cape. We've already started engaging with our colleagues in the Eastern Cape. In fact, during Indaba, we had our meeting there, and we've even repositioned it. So the way we're planning to implement tourism, we get caught on its month a day, is we're going to be implementing it differently from how we've done it before. But basically, the focus is still on domestic spread and ensuring that we showcase the attractions that are in provinces, but also have a national focus. But all those details will provide later. And then the other one was on...
30-day payment, I'll take it.
Thank you, Honourable Chair and Honourable Members. There were lots of questions related to destination development. With regards to the work that we're doing in the Northern Cape, I think we're spending roughly 6 million rand on master planning initiatives, various master planning initiatives. What's not contained in the APP is that we're also working with the province around the big hole in Kimberley and around how we actually improve that specific offering in addition to the ones that are contained here. Master planning exercises are expensive because you also do the spatial mapping and you're integrating a number of different areas. So it's not just about tourism, it's about all of the things that support tourism, including the roads, the connectivity, etc. So we would be happy to share a little bit more detail of those specific projects in the Northern Cape. That's not at all a problem. With regards to visitor safety, the department is actually coordinating visitor safety, let's say from a tourism perspective, working in partnership with the Tourism Business Council, as well as SA Tourism, as well as SAPS. And part of that initiative is around how we deal with safety and support when incidents happen, how we are actually going to be recording those incidents so that we're tracking the trends and we're able to actually deal with the syndicates, because they are syndicates, unfortunately. And that's a longer-term piece of work. And then there's a broader piece of work around just communication and how we are dealing with the communication strategy and the crisis management strategy in some ways. So that work is, of course, as you say, not just specifically the Department of Tourism's responsibility, but it is work that we are focusing on quite sharply as a key area of focus. Aligned to that within the department, we're rolling out the Safety Monitors project, and that project is really about having eyes and ears on the ground. We are also working with the Department of Environmental Affairs. In areas that are tourism hotspots, environmental, there are also environmental monitors. They're trained slightly differently because, for example, they deal with poachers. But we're looking at how we can actually collaborate in those areas that are like Table Mountain, for example, that we collaborate with the environmental program as well, that we are actually joining up our forces. So there is a very large initiative around trying to deal with the issues of safety in a multi-stakeholder forum, but really it also in multiple ways. In terms of the travel incentive program, that is certainly something that our SA Tourism team at the Convention Bureau does, because the I in MY stands for incentives. So they really are also focusing on that specific market in addition to conferences and events and exhibitions. With regards to the precinct plan, I think that within the coastal and marine tourism area of work, of course, there is a clear plan around which are the next ones that we are working on. But the precinct planning exercise, again, is about how you actually improve infrastructure, how you improve access,
how you improve safety within the destination, how you deal with new developments within that space, so project diversification, and very importantly, how you get all of the product owners to collaborate with each other in a forum. So the precinct development work includes all of those elements of work. And we used Funakazi Street as a model last year. So there's a very clear plan that the City of Joburg has for each of those elements of work. It's also broader than just the precinct, because it's about how you then link that precinct with other precincts that exist within the space, so that you are having people visit more than just that space. So the work on precinct planning that we're going to be doing in Khayelitsha is looking at exactly those elements, how you actually maximize Lookout Hill, the use of that facility, but how you actually connect it with developments at Monroe BC Beach, and how you connect with border developments that are happening within Cape Town, so that you can have the tourism within that specific space benefit from tourists that are coming into Sea Table Mountain. So it's about creating the connections. The precinct planning model is about dealing with both infrastructure elements, it's about dealing with the relationship elements, it's about dealing with the elements of connectivity, but also about how you connect that specific precinct with the broader area and actually get people to circulate around it. So there is a plan for how we deal with precincts. We do have a focus, of course, on townships, and we're working with those at this point that we also link with coastal and marine tourism, so that we are actually maximizing the input that we are making in the spaces, and not just trying to, you know, kind of do small efforts in isolated areas. So that's really what our strategy is around precinct planning. With regards to the investment pipeline, our target for this year is to get the 9 up to 20 bankable projects. So we are working with provinces on those that are the most feasible, that need just a little bit of work for us to finalize their feasibility studies to help them to package those. And it is our plan to kind of grow that number. But we're getting from 9 to 20 this year. And we are in terms of our pipeline, then going to progressively work so that we have all of those 80 eventually at the level that they are in fact bankable. With regards to tourism enterprises and domestic tourism, there was an extensive review done in order to develop our domestic tourism strategy. One of the things about the domestic tourism strategy that it says is a challenge to domestic tourism is, of course, pricing, but more than pricing is actually the issue of developing packages that speak to domestic tourists and specifically speak to visiting friends and relatives market. So the domestic tourism strategy has, in fact, done a lot of the work trying to understand what is underlying the challenges for domestic tourism and also setting out a strategy for how we are then going to address both pricing and packaging and specifically dealing with the visiting friends and relatives category. So it's about getting a more nuanced understanding of how South Africans travel, because it may not be correct to say that we don't travel, but we travel in a particular way, and it's about understanding then how to link into that particular mode of travel, whether it's religious groups, whether it's stockpiles that travel, whether it is that people visit their friends and relatives and then visit other sites within it. So there is a concerted effort, I think, dealing with domestic tourism to address those specific packages for a South African market. I think within the DMCs, that area of work that the destination marketing companies is an area of work that will be focused on by SA Tourism. But in terms of what we do with young unemployed people, our target of 6,000, you are correct, is ambitious. But we base that number on the programs that we had in planning and the programs that we know are being implemented. So that number was based on our best planning in November, and we are going to do our very best to meet that target, because that is a critical target for us within our program. So at this stage, we it's always touch and go with FTE numbers, but we're confident that we are working towards meeting that specific number in terms of dealing with entrepreneurship. And then I think our SMME and our guiding program is now looking at more than just provision of skills. It's looking at the provision of skills in order to create entrepreneurs. So that's really where the focus of dealing with creating entrepreneurship is actually going to. And the skills program is also looking at how you then link the skills development with entrepreneurship training. So that's also the next step within the skills development area of work. With regards to the 40 women, it isn't 30%. It's actually 40 women. That executive training program for women began with 20 initially, and it's actually been doubled in this financial year. And then with regards to the maintenance of facilities, we have a very close working relationship with Sanparks, and we are in fact working with them on a plan to look at how we deal with maintenance. We've also been working very closely with MIG, the Municipal Infrastructure Grant Team, to look at how we actually then ring-fence money for tourism-specific needs. And in particular, MIG is now trying to ring-fence 70% of their funding to deal with maintenance. So we are through those various programs and our work with trying to find additional money, looking at how we deal with maintenance. And the prioritization in terms of infrastructure is firstly to enhance those that we currently have, to properly maintain them, and then to build new only where there isn't actually any. I think that deals with all of the ones related to destination development.
Thank you very much, Honourable Chair. Honourable Members, the research seminar we usually host towards the end of the financial year. This year we hosted it 16th of February, if I remember well. The reason for that is that we need to give time for the research projects to be done because we are then presenting those at the research seminar. So it will again next year, February, March, the seminar will be hosted. We usually share invites with Pietra for both the portfolio committee and the select committee. The biometric time and attendance system, this is to assist the EPWP project, as they need a daily record of who attended, when they arrived, when they left. So that is to assist the project within the EPWP space. Contribution to GDP, historically, tourism, the sector's contribution to GDP is around 2.7 to 3%. Last year it was 2.9 or in 2016. Contribution to jobs historically is between 4.2 and 4.5. So, yes, the contribution to jobs is much higher than the contribution to GDP. This is the direct contribution. When you do the indirect combined, it goes to 9 and higher. But for us to compare it with other industries, we do the direct contribution to make it comparable. The research program, we have a research agenda that lists a number of research projects that we obtain from consultation with industry, from consultation with provinces, also internal needs, which are then prioritized based on the resources that we have. Just to also indicate and remind members that we do have a forum that we call Policy Research Expert Forum, which is appointed by the Minister. That forum is there to quality assure the research that we do. So the process is quality assured. There's different purposes for which we do research. On the one hand, it's to inform something that we do so that we want to base what we do always on facts. It's also to assist the industry in terms of, and sometimes we develop tools. Last year we developed a tool that looks at the sustainability of rural tourism products in South Africa, which we will then roll out and show to communities. Work that we did on informing what we are doing, we did a policy review on the tourist guiding sector to inform the revisions that we want to do in the bill. So, it is, yeah, that's the process that we follow. Thank you very much, Honourable Members. Oh, and then, just sorry, the last comment that, Honourable Chair, you made around the decisions from the multilateral forums, the outcomes, we can certainly share those as and when it happens. The SADC ministerial meeting happened in November last year. It was a combined meeting with environment and fisheries and so forth, forestry, but those outcomes we can make available. Thank you.
Honourable Chairperson, thank you very much. I want to just apologize up front if I'm going to take you into certain details, but I just want to make sure that some specifics on the record are also reflected. We take note of the need for us to identify the baseline. We took it for granted that we are presenting, the presentation is backed by the tabled APP, which has got that information in there. The breakdown of the finances, we do have that for some projects. For other projects, you would find that so if we go and have an agency that is helping us with master planning for the various destination plans and so on, it will be difficult to actually break it to the point where you say so much for this place, so much for that place. But for training of youth at a particular province, we are able to say cost us this much money, so that we can provide. There is a policy issue that is being raised by Honourable Father Honourable Chisholm with regards to the issues around visitor safety and the processes that then follow with regards to finalizing the cases. And I think the best people to actually provide this response would be colleagues from the JCTS class as to how they deal with these particular cases. We do know about people going through the system and ultimately actually getting convicted for certain things. Whether somebody had to come back, I don't know. We can learn from what happened during the World Cup. Cases were quite strict, and the reason for that was because even at Orsabotisha Airport, we had a court. And that court was able to deal with these matters right there and then. So even before people exit and so on, matters were wrapped up and dealt with. But the message which collectively we should carry us as officials, our principals, as political principals, yourselves as honourable members of parliament, is that the safety of this destination is our collective responsibility. So we can arrest and we can jail and so on, but the reality of the matter is that the psychology of the market has already been affected, and they are actually going to react in a different way. And it's really truly a collective effort, and we need every single person in this country saying it's not going to be done in our name. Surely the perpetrators are known to somebody. Somebody is buying whatever they may have taken. There's already laws that deal with that. But it is the behavior that, as society, we need to encourage that it is actually the correct thing to report these perpetrators. People live lavish lifestyles and so on, and they actually are not working. And we see them, and
we keep quiet. So I think there is something that, whilst we are doing the things that we can do formally, there's some change that society needs to also go through in terms of how we deal with these things. And it's small steps. Yesterday we saw Minister of the Police. He was in the trains here, and he wanted to ask the people himself what are the issues pertaining to safety in those trains. So he's got that kind of report, and he's got that kind of information. And such sports visits, combined with what Shamila was calling the safety monitors, and perhaps also inclusion of technology. I can't give too much details on record about the work that these people are going to do, because it will all of it just be negated, all of it then would be on record, and everybody can just read as to how you counter the strategy that we are sharing. But it's something that we can share, but not necessarily on the record. Not on the record. The issue about incentive travel, SAT is doing some work on that, but I want to address the issue about incentive travel domestically. We have an environment where we are coming from a strike just now with the buses. The public sector is going through negotiations as we speak. We've had all these different strikes that we've seen. And it's all about, we would like to actually get more and better pay. So about 4 or 5 years ago, we started engaging this idea, whether we should go that route or we shouldn't go that route. And what we're starting to pick up from the discussions was labor's current needs is wages. And that is what is occupying the environment. So if anything seeks to replace real money, it is not going to be accepted. So those are the trade-offs that we had to look at and say, is this the route that we actually go? So there are other incentives. So when you get the honorable chairperson and the 6 other members that benefited out of the jail tickets, it's also with the hope that perhaps the partner may not necessarily be in Cape Town at that point in time, and the partner would then be incentivized to travel in a way. So you've got a ticket, you will take your trip, and you will be here. So a bulk of people that actually end up coming here, and they are coming on such tickets, we then have to look at the extent of the spend that they actually bring when they then have to travel. So those are some of the things that they do from an SAT point of view. The 30% set aside for SMEs, we do have that. The model of high really raised this. We do have that. What we are also saying is that across, and we will raise this also with fellow departments, across the system, the 30% should not be confined to a single category and we achieve all the 30%, say, using EPWP. Travel services must also include that 30%. So when we do even the terms of reference for the various services that we acquire, we actually have an indication that if you're going to outsource, we need to see that 30% of these things are actually outsourced to the SME. However, there's an issue here, Honorable Chairperson, that 30% SME does not mean 30% black. And that is, I do know that, I'm sure Honorable I would know better than I would, that there is work that is being done with regards to issues around this definition of small business and the harmonization issues with regards to that and the transformation aspect of this. So if we were to take just SMEs, without fear of contradiction, way above 80% of our services would actually come from SMEs, way above. But then when we narrow it down and say, are these black? And that is where we've got to deal with these issues. Because if an SME is not black, it is still, what do we call it, exempted. It is still exempted. So those are the issues
and going a little bit deeper into that level of detail. So there is no doubt they will use black establishments, SMEs, and so on. But they have to meet the quality standards. They must be graded. We give an incentive for grading. It's a significant. So there's nobody who can say I'm not graded now because I don't have money. It is a choice not to be graded. They tell us a lot of different reasons why and so on. But we're not saying they must be five-star necessarily, but they have to be graded. And there is a standing cabinet decision that we use graded establishments. So we use B compliance but graded as well. And we must also get them to register in the central supplier database, which is with National Treasury. All our services actually come from that. So there is an awareness program that is done. We do it across provinces and so on to make sure that we get these products, firstly to comply with the grading requirements, but also to get into that particular database. And in terms of consumption, we will definitely lead by example. But beyond that, we would like that to be something that is done across government. 30-day payments is actually in my performance agreement. So we do it and we do it well. We are 99.9 something percent. The problem.
Why is the 0.1?
The 0.1. So you would have a supplier who sends an email to an official with an invoice, and the official opens this and he goes either on leave or he's off sick. Those types of issues, they actually occur in any system. But then we are able to come back and have to go through a process that either there will be consequences or a fair and reasonable explanation as to what exactly has happened. But in terms of actually doing it, and the policies are adapted accordingly to be able to deal with those kinds of things. Maybe I should just say that my last domestic trip was Lookout Hill. That was my last domestic trip, and after that we went to Munwabisa. I wanted to check what is the state of affairs and so on. From there, I went to Gook, and that's where I had my lamb shank with Papa. So we do these things, and when we come back, we really have a sense of what is going on. It helps us to design things in the manner that would respond to what is happening in the environment. Lookout Hill, it does require some attention. People are removing all these metal things and so on. As you go up the staircase and so on, you would find that all those wires on the side that you hang on as you go up, they've been removed, completely removed. Nuts, bolts, everything is removed. At least with regard to the retail side, and so it's working well. That's working well. But even the space itself, the security aspects and so on, there's a need for those things to be given absolute attention. So we do observe these things. We believe that they go well. And when the community works, when the business person works with the community, you don't have these things. You can go to Goods, you can pack the most expensive car and leave your key inside, in front of, I don't want to necessarily market anybody, the most famous place. Nobody's going to touch it. Nobody's going to touch it. But the good working relationship, the parking spaces that are being used, when I got there, I was directed to the parking by a resident, and he was taking me to his own house to say, here is the parking. And I said, how much is it going to cost me? He says, well, it's up to you. So I gave him a tip, and that's how they are working with that community there, and things are working well. So there is something that we need to do generally as a collective. I think Shabela has covered the issues with regards to the enterprise development. Let's come to this issue about transformation. And what do we understand it to be? I'll take a little bit of a step back. We have a broad-based Black Economic Empowerment Charter Council. That council monitors what is the state of transformation in the sector and so on. They've produced their report in the previous financial year, and I think it will be worth calling them to come and make a presentation. But this is solely on the aspect of the B codes. So it's not a broader aspect. So there are two issues here. One is that we believe that the economy must be growing. And as it is growing, transformation must be taking place. And that transformation, in our definition, is that Black people must be participating in that economy. That's really the crux of it. There are aspects that can be attended to by the codes. So this would be issues about procurement by big business from small suppliers, encouraging empowered suppliers to actually get into that space. And so that can be done by the codes. Ownership issues in terms of the large enterprises and so on, that can be done by the codes. Government procurement, which is worth close to, is actually above 10 billion at the moment when it comes just to travel services, that can be done by the codes. I think we did a presentation here on those issues. The issues around the airport spaces where car rental services can operate from, getting those tenders, that is the function of the codes. So those kinds of things can be dealt with. But there's no point in having those codes, and you're not going to be playing at that level where somebody who is a large enterprise definitely needs to have you on board, which means you then have to look at other aspects. Access to funding for businesses. We are starting small with this NEF fund that we talked about. But the purpose of this fund is that if you've got a new, brand new project, you'll be able to get into the sector. If you want to expand, you'll be able to get into the sector. But whatever you're doing must be owned 51% Black. 51% Black. So these are the kinds of things that we're talking about. The issues that Shamila was saying, we're training guys with a view that in future they are going to actually become entrepreneurs. We are saying in that domestic tourism scheme, there's something about the domestic tourism scheme, we are saying what we would like to do is to work with, you go to every township, you go to every village, there is some uncle who takes people either to Kruger from time to time, who takes people to the nearest places and so on of entertainment. He's not aware that he's actually a tour operator, but he's just not licensed as such. He's not orientated as such, so he's not necessarily targeting the market as well. So we are saying in that particular scheme, what we do, on one side, we've got vouchers. These vouchers go to all these establishments, products, so to say. But they are redeemed through the bookings that are coming to these people. But those people have got to be taken through a process of understanding what it means to be a tour operator, how to handle people's money, how to sustain your own business operations and so on and so forth, and to be registered also and have a license that you're operating in a particular manner. So we hear stories of people coming from Limpopo. These are grannies. They are coming from Limpopo. They come all the way. They get breakdowns along the way and so on. And when they arrive here, they pay for themselves. They go to Table Mountain and they did the cable. They pay for themselves. They go to Robben Island. I actually met with them here. They go to Robben Island and suddenly they don't even have money for food anymore. They actually don't have money for food anymore. Now, they've got to pay the operator. He goes back with them.
And when he gets somewhere in Pretoria, he is stopped by the taxi association. They're saying, this taxi is not supposed to be anywhere here. Who are you and what are you doing? So they kind of like keep these goggles somewhere else. And in the process, then you are supposed to be waiting for them to solve their issues, and then you will be allowed to leave. He may get a similar problem when he gets to Polokwane or even just getting to Benavid. These are the issues that we are saying. We need to look at that. So it's not just ordinary barriers. These are real barriers as well. So we're saying we need to look at those things, but we need to make sure that we lessen the burden on those people. They want to travel. So it becomes part of the social tourism scheme. And you're going to start seeing people coming to different places, coming from different provinces, going to other provinces, and so on. These are the kind of schemes that we're talking about. We're talking about people that are going to all these soccer matches. And there's no work currently that is actually taking place directly with your fan clubs. And we are saying that the BNBs themselves must also come together so that they are able to actually attract particular fan clubs and work with them and be able to actually get them to. So these are the kinds of things. There's a whole host of those types of issues. The Kruger National Park deal that we've got with Sand Parks, we're saying that for youth to be able to enter these particular markets that are coming from the surrounding areas, there are certain requirements that as an operator you've got to go through if you're going to operate in Kruger specifically. We're going to take them through that particular training in detail. But we need to then be able to assist them as they form cooperatives, working with the likes of TTI. How then do we get these people to be able to get the tools of trade? These are the kinds of things that we don't have sufficient resources. We've got lots of ideas, but we don't have, and plans, but we don't necessarily have sufficient resources. So we are saying you have to start somewhere. And the starting point was have this NES team, see where it goes. Some of those products, Bumalanga, products such as the lift in Graskop. We knew there's a new lift in Graskop which allows you to actually go down to the where the faults end, and there's also support interest. There's now a hotel that's going to come there. These are the kinds of things that we're talking about putting funding into. But we're putting this funding on commercial terms. So we don't build something for you and give it to you anymore. We're saying you will be able to access money from us as a grant. It will soften your loan, and it will also allow you to access loans. And in some instances, NEF will also take equity out of this. So that would actually be something that allows you to then commence. Some are branded hotels. The plans are already there. Whether you're talking about your parking, your holiday, black owned, that would actually come out of this kind of scheme that we're talking about. We would be looking at other things which we will not necessarily announce as yet. I'm sure it's going to come with the next budget vote along with the other broader schemes that we will be developing.
Thank you very much, PD, and your team. Looking at the clock, we are on our time to disperse. You could sit with us. We're just going to be another minute or two before we disperse. Honourable members, we have had the presentation on Budget 33, the Department of Tourism, that was given to us. We, members of the Select Committee on Trade and International Relations, have considered budget number 34. Norman. The thing's wrong. Okay. We've considered budget number 33, tourism, and the annual performance plan 2018-19 of the Department of Tourism. And this report has been concluded and the deliberations thereon. Honourable members, can I have two hands for the proposal for this report to be approved by the committee so that we can deal with it in the House? Honourable Makwebo?
I propose, Chair, that we approve the report.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Honourable members, can I just deal with the last issue, which is the minutes of our last meeting? It was a meeting that we had in V27. Just before I go into the details of the minutes, Honourable Bauda, Martins, do you have more copies of the BBBE code? That was, I think it's going to be helpful if you get a copy of the BBBE code. No, the nice booklet. It's a nice pocket-sized booklet that they gave to us in the meeting. If you could get another one from Saroj so that you can share it with.
Okay.
Is there anybody, any other member? On the room table, were you there?
No.
No, you're not. So get at least three. So that you can give to him on the room table. And also, I know that on the room Tetua and Mflanga were not there. Those were the people that were absent at that meeting. Honourable members, we received the report from the BBBE Commission. We looked at the committee program. We adopted the minutes of the last meeting. And we have captured in the minutes the committee deliberations and comments. Can I get a proposal? We didn't receive an apology. We didn't get it in that way. I was raising it as a concern with the Honourable Brenda Ntavula. I was saying that that's not, am I right, Slubeta? That's not how we received it. And I said to her that, look, the members are witnesses. We would have no problem. And because she's new, as chair then proposed that she gets your office to do it to us in that way. But the office will just give us a proposal for an apology for a particular meeting. Well, if you give it to us at our next meeting, we can record it as such so that it cancels us out. But we can't change the minute. Honourable Mahuil?
Propose that we adopt the minutes from Nick Kulgas.
Okay, somebody second that? Can somebody second? Honourable Fahey, are you with us? Okay, thank you very much. Thank you very much, Honourable Members. We are adjourned. We will meet. Honourable Fahey, are we meeting next week, Tuesday?
No,
Tuesday and Wednesday next week. Thank you very much.
Also, es hat nicht alle wissen.